tonight we're going to have a message on prayer. This is a week of prayer for the ministry. So in this room at 9 o'clock in the morning, there were a few people. And at 2 o'clock, and then I think again at 6, we had our meeting with the Bible College. And my main desire tonight would be that something said would help us, inspire us, teach us about prayer, because it's so easy that we know it and maybe go through motions. And then, to be very honest, sometimes we just don't have time and maybe don't want to do it. Even we're like our own enemy. Like when you say prayer, I go, yes, but then, you know, there's something about it. I don't know about you, but this is maybe a confession from me, that I have had a long period of time in my life, I mean, maybe decades, where prayer was just a very big part of my life. I could be by myself in prayer and touch God. I really felt it at different times very much. I mean, I wouldn't preach unless I had a message from God, and or was prepared in prayer. So I really believe in it. But in time, because of administration and needs and everything, I feel that, I always feel I should do more of it. But this isn't the message. This isn't about doing more or, you know, is it good enough or something like that. No, that's not the message. But it's more, do we realize that it is such a powerful thing? And do we realize what it is and how enjoyable it is? There are many people that absolutely love it. And you could look at them and think, you know, why do you love it? Because I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand what you're talking about. And they would say, it's real. It's amazing. It has like changed my life. Prayer is like incredible. So that there is really something to say about that. So I'm going to read just a few verses here before Jesse comes up, just to First Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face continually. Reminds us of Psalm 27. Really seeking his face, and say ye, save us, O God, verse 35. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Maybe that's something that we have to think about. Maybe because I'm so busy and I say my prayers and I believe in them, like short prayers, you get in the car, bless our trip, or you have to make a decision at the bank, or you're having a conversation, you pray, Lord, help me in this conversation to say the right thing. That's like Nehemiah 2:4, when Nehemiah had to give an answer to the king right on the spot, and then he prayed for what to say. But this may be, those prayers are precious and important, but we are also Americans in the Western world with iPhones and televisions and Netflix and every other thing and gadget and possessions and everything. And we just don't know what it means to wait upon the Lord and to be humble before Him, to stop, like stop, you know, shut down. Jesus said in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, and He talked about fasting to the disciples. But I have noticed in the West, in our country, we don't fast that much, and I don't. But then tonight, thinking about it, fasting, what does it mean? Well, I am not going to eat for one meal or two meals or three or one day or 2 days or whatever it might be. Might be easier just to approach it like not so much how much I fast, but just the fact that I'm able to shut down and slow down and put my attention on Him. Maybe this is an expression of humility. Like if my people who are called by and will humble themselves. I don't like to go to hungry. I don't like to go to hungry. How about you guys? You like to go hungry? I don't like to go hungry. But you could do it this way. You say, Lord, I need to be refreshed. I need to be refreshed. I need something. I need something from you. I want fellowship in such a way that my spirit is alive and I see you. Seek my face, He said. Can I see you? Yes, you can see me. You can see me. Seek me, you will find me. Fellowship with me. It says, praying in the Spirit in Jude, verse 20. Praying in the Spirit. It might be that my prayers are not in the Spirit. They are prayers out of frustration, prayers out of loneliness, desperation. It's not bad, but it may be that I'm so filled with myself that my prayers are all about me. Enter my courts with praise, my gates with thanksgiving. Come before me. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face. Wow. So verse 14. And pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Well, there's another one. Turn from my wicked ways, my pride. I was thinking of it this afternoon. I just thought about some bad things and about Lord, am I proud? Am I proud? Maybe I am proud. I think I am. I see pride in my life and so on. And like this is brought before you. I want to bring that in the light of your countenance and heal me. May I not hurt, because I'm in a place where I could maybe hurt another person. And I wouldn't want to be in their situation. I don't want them to be hurt. I don't want that to happen because I could be in that situation, but I don't want that to happen. What is this? Why am I saying this? Because I want to talk to you about prayer. And you cannot be an arrogant person in praying. It doesn't work. Arrogant people are not heard. Arrogance is not in the plan. It's not in the picture. It's James 4. We ask amiss. We consume it in our own lust. We seek but cannot find. We are pursuing but cannot get it. And we sit down in sorrow, and the Lord is saying, you know, your prayers, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. You're not praying in the Holy Spirit. If you were praying in the Holy Spirit, you would be humble and saying before me, Lord, search me and see if there is any evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Correct me and fix me and teach me, because I know, here it is, I know that you want to answer prayers. I know you do. You are a prayer answering God. And by the way, many of our people, many of you sitting here, you could say, God answered prayer for me again and again, and he has done it. Absolutely. But I'm also trying to say something about myself and about us. And it is, a broken, uncontrite spirit God will not despise. And he knows. And in regarding our country, he said, if you turn from your wicked ways, it means you cannot be lying and praying to God at the same in the same day. You cannot be looking at pornography as a habit, as a way of life, and then say your prayers and go to church and say your prayers and so on. It's like, to be honest, you can, but you have to repent, bring it before God, and then don't do it again. And if you do it again, you repent and bring it before God, and you are forgiven. And trust God. You will get, as you will learn how to be spirit-filled and walk with God and be a giant of a person, an effective person, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It can affect a city. It can affect a country. The fervent prayer of a righteous man can receive so much from God. There's no good thing he will withhold from him that walks uprightly. So the Lord is saying, you have to turn from your wicked ways, it says there, and I will heal your land, verse 14. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When you are forgiven of your sin, you know that. When you are forgiven of your sin, you are deeply encouraged. When you are forgiven of your sin, you are bold as a lion. You are not afraid. When you are forgiven of your sin, you have a mission. When you are forgiven of your sin, you can walk by faith, and many prayers are answered. And you can see them answered by God. And many times in Matthew 6, it says, "You, when you pray, go into the closet, shut the door. My heavenly Father will see you, and he will reward you openly." And when you see a believer that is like walking like that, you say, how did they get that? How did that work? Why are they blessed? What is happening with them? It might be that they have a prayer closet. It might be that they are humble. It might be that they are going before God, asking and receiving. And it's happening in their life as a way of life. And by the way, probably for many of you, this is indeed the way it is. And you're living that way. And we can see that. And we're very thankful for that. I want to speak about this tonight, and just by way of encouragement, and say, I believe when you get a group of people that are praying people, and not to go into the past and make a big deal about it, but to be honest, when we were in Lenox, we had Curly Owens come, and we started our 24-hour prayer chain. through the 1980s. Remember those years? We had a prayer room and we were praying, and we went to India, we went to Chile, we went to Ghana, we were in China, we went to many countries in those years. It was like 200 people went in the summer, out on summer harvest, and came back. And then many of them later went to those countries to do mission work. It was I believe it was when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I will hear from heaven, I will answer, and you will later look at it and say, how come? You know, 40 years later, those works are going, they are from God, and you are saying, like I can say, where did Pastor Gromov come from? Where did he come from? Where did Pastor Satellite come from? Where did Pastor Mati come from? Where did Pastor Shabelli come from? Where did these people come from? I would say the Lord answered our prayers. Okay, past, present, and here we are thinking about it tonight for the next weeks and thinking about it maybe to help you and to just quiet down, slow down, and wait upon God and listen with your Bible open and trust Him and ask and receive. Knock and it's open, and seek and you shall find. Okay, so that's our theme. All right, Lord bless our night tonight in Jesus' name. Before Jesse comes up, would you turn to your neighbor and just say, God has answered prayers for me. He really has, and this is what He has done for me. Okay, let's turn to Luke 11. Thank you, Jean Marie. What a great voice, huh? Some of us are, what's the word? Jealous? Luke 11. Thanks for your love, love of the body and your ministries, which is extraordinary, and the Spirit doing His work amongst us in so many departments, Pastor Barry Quirk in the school, the teen ministry, women's ministry, children, small little ones. It's amazing. The Bible College, Pastor Philippe and Pastor Matt, Pastor Love on Grace Hour, faithful servant, Pastor Cannon, humble, meek, isn't he? He's a precious, and his wife. It's amazing what God has given to us and how much we enjoy it. And so this portion in Luke 11, verse 1. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, Jesus was praying and they were waiting for him. They were watching him pray. It looks like that, because when he stopped, that's when they felt they could talk to him. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. When you see somebody praying, sometimes it's very motivating. Like when you're with somebody and they are in communion with God and it's you're with them and it can be, whoa, that's amazing. Teach me that. Teach me that. But remember, he's in a culture filled with prayer. They're on the streets praying. They are at the temple praying. But when Jesus prayed, it was like, we don't know anything about it. We don't know what is that? What's going on? Whoa. Wow. Like, what did they discern? What did they recognize? But this man has a connection, and I could see it. And so they said, teach us that. Teach us to pray. This is what we're trying to say tonight. I know all about boredom, dullness, prayer, people, they roll their eyes. I know all about it. We all do. Say prayers, and I know that. I know about it. I know exactly what you mean. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Don't even worry about it. I could care less about that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you having the Holy Spirit and being hungry and focused. You're capable of being focused on the invisible world. You're capable of being in the presence of angels and in the presence of God. You are capable of communion with the holy God of heaven and earth. That's amazing. That's what we're talking about. For this reason, too, like, I don't think so much about our prayer duty or mechanical prayers. I want you to find on your own, in your own way, some satisfaction that comes from a prayer life where you are able to relate to God and He fills you. Like, He fills you on a consistent basis. You are in fellowship with God. Contrarily, we are capable of pride. And I believe it's that pride. We'll turn to James 4, please. And this will be short, I think, because it doesn't need to be long, I think, to do what we want. Verse chapter 4. Verse 2, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You lust, but it's not working for you. The lust doesn't get you what you want. It doesn't work. You lust for money, you play the lottery every day, and you get nothing. You lust, but you cannot obtain. You want a new job. You are lusting for it. You desire it for years and years, but you don't get it. You want, you know, a friend, a certain friend. You want to have a great friend, but you can't. It doesn't seem that it works. We all know about this. Verse 2. And cannot obtain. You fight in war. There's a lot of that. A lot of fighting and scratching and crawling and climbing and beating and deceiving and working and ambition and everything. It's all flesh. It's power, lust. It's the flesh. Yet you have not, because you ask not. You don't ask. Yes, of course I pray. I pray to God. I pray to God. Yes, I ask. And the Lord is saying, you ask amiss. Verse 3. You ask not is one category. Category 2, you ask and don't receive. Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. I want this. I want this. I pray to it. I pray. And I want it. If God gave it to you, it would just be a lust pattern. I just want something more. I want another one. I want this. I want this. And God gave it to you. And He may. He can give it to you. But it's not what He's looking for, because He's looking for the humility, the spirit. He's looking for fellowship and brokenness. He's looking for wisdom. He is looking for the work of redemption in our lives. So verse 6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Do you think I could be proud when I pray? Yes. Luke 18, the Pharisee said, Lord God, thank you that I am not like him. Oh, I am. I am like, my behavior is right. My words are right. I'm in the church. I say my prayers. And the Lord says, you are proud. What do you mean I am proud? You are proud. You think you are, you know, and on it, whatever way you want to say it. But you have this secret pride. You have this arrogance. You have this pride before God and before people. I need you to humble yourself. 1 Peter 5. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. This is amazing. So I bring my pride before God. Lord, listen to this, because we have at least two pastors that are operating this way. They are not, there's some pride. There's some pastor who has some pride in his heart, in his life. But he goes through, he's in the ministry, he goes through the most, he does the ministry, and he's effective. But there's something not right. There's something not right there. Where's the humility to say, I am wrong? Where's the humility to say, you could be right, I could be wrong? But there's something in leadership that happens, and that is, if I confess error, that shows weakness. Hey, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We don't need to follow a strong person. We need to follow Christ. And we need you to be spirit-filled and humble before God. And that means you can be wrong. You're not always right. We are not always right. We are wrong. Many times in our attitude in the course of a day, I catch myself and I see something in my heart that I don't like it. It's not right. And I'm just saying it to help us in our prayer life. It might be that the prayer life of a Christian is so dead that he just goes through the whole drill. It's just a drill. And he just gets up and he walks away and he goes on his way. It's got to be more than that. It has to be that it affects me. I'm not saying every time I pray, I get off my knees and I'm shining like an angel or a big light bulb. I'm not saying that. Or I'm just bouncing. I'm not even touching the ground. I'm walking like through the air. No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying that there is prayer, and it's prayer that is asking amiss. It's not prayer. It's not heard. It doesn't work. And you wonder why you're bored and why you go to the local bar room or why you watch pornography, why you're looking for pornography or something. Why are you so dull and boring? You're a boring person. You're an empty person because you're not spirit-filled. That's not being spirit-filled. Being spirit-filled is the Holy Spirit affecting you in your inner man, and you are actually humble because of the Holy Spirit. And you're actually able to be transparent and open before people and love them, and they see Christ in you. They see Christ, not arrogance. Let's say something about that. Maybe it happens in our cafe sometime. Somebody comes in and they hear something and they go over to another table. I'm making all this up. I don't know if it ever happening. I can imagine that I'm making it up. They go over to the other table and they just straighten out the other person. They just straighten them out. You know, they just are like a Pharisee walking around, that they are spiritual. Oh, I am spiritual. You are spiritual? Yeah, if I say my prayers, I go to the church. For 30 years I've been in this church. I have been in this church. Who are you? I have been in this. My chair is over there. I've been here 30 years. It's like, you are proud. What's that got to do with it? Who cares how long you've been in this building or even on the earth, or how old you are, what you have done, or who you are in that way? That means nothing. What matters is, are you filled with the Spirit and do you love the brethren? Is Christ important? Not you. Are you important? I had that one time many years ago. I knocked on a door in another country, and there was a priest who came to the door. And he said, you know, that he's a priest. And he said, you know, I've been a priest for 40 years. And it's like, who are you? And it was like, well, conversation's over. Because I'm about, you know, 2 weeks old. You know, like, that's like not fellowship. That's not fellowship. So I got off track there. Okay, so when they saw Jesus praying in Luke 11, and they said, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And I believe John also knew how to touch heaven, and his disciples knew about prayer. But the Pharisees, they didn't care about those prayers, and nor does God. But these prayers, the prayers that you pray in the morning, when you pray, it's interesting, in the psalmist says, I pray in the morning, then another psalm says twice a day, then another psalm says three times a day. Then Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed all night, and then Paul said, pray without ceasing. And the Lord hears. And he answers us. In closing here, the last part of it is in, we'll skip down to verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And that's like us. There's a need, Baltimore City. I have nothing to set before Baltimore City. What can I do about Baltimore City? There's a need. But I know who to go to. I can go to my Heavenly Father and say, Father, I'm in Baltimore. I have nothing to give them. I need 3 loaves. I need the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I need you to give me something to give them. I need you to help us. Help us, the teenager, the mother. Father, I need you to answer the prayer. Also, Lord, I ran out of gas. I ran out of gas a long time ago. But I come to you. Don't say you're old, and don't say you're done, you're finished. Or you can if you want to. I mean, that's your business. But I am trying to say, I kind of have it in my mind, sometimes what I say is what's going to happen to me. What I say is going to be, I can't do it, and so I can't do it. I've said I can't do it, and so I can't do it. But if you just change your vocabulary, I am young, I feel good, thank you, God, I can do it. I can do it if God wills. You can't be proud. There's what's called the pride of life. And there are people that get old and they're some kind of proud about it. I am old. They talk to a young person. I am an old man. I am old. Is that the pride of life? I do not know if it is. But why do that? You don't help him. You don't help yourself. You know, you are to, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. Because you have a prayer life. And your Heavenly Father tells you. Our Heavenly Father speaks to us from the Scripture. The Scripture washes us and we're clean. Here's a good thought. Jonah had Psalm 42 in him. Psalm 42 was in Jonah. How do we know that? Because it's written in Jonah chapter 2 what his prayer was when he was in the fish. So Psalm 42 was in Jonah, and the fish swallowed Jonah. And what was in the fish? But Jonah and Psalm 42. Psalm 42 was in the fish, in Jonah. And Jonah said that prayer. And what did the fish do? It headed for the weeds. It wasn't feeling too good. That fish headed towards the weeds. Why? Because it says it in the Scripture. It was in the weeds. And also the weeds were wrapped around Jonah's head. And he's in the fish. But don't worry about it. In a way, don't worry about it, because Psalm 42 is in Jonah. And when he said the prayer, God spoke to the fish. And the fish shot him out like a missile. And it doesn't say he landed in the water. It says he landed on the beach. Wow. What's my point? My point is, and I'll finish with this, if you have a prayer life with the Bible open, probably you're going to end up learning the Bible, and it's going to come to your spirit and your heart, and it's going to come to your memory, and it's going to be an authority in your life. Young men, you have overcome the wicked one because the Word of God abides in you. That's how you get the Bible in you. By a prayer life. You have a prayer life. You can literally be, actually, if it happens in the Spirit, you could actually be hours before God and in the Word and the Word in you, and you end up walking in the authority of God's Word in an ungodly world that is evil, and you have authority over the evil, and God is answering your prayers and leading you in your life. And he said he will not withhold any good thing from him that's walking uprightly like that in Psalm 84. And Psalm 34, mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. That guy has something going on. There's no way that your flesh can do it. There's no way religion can do it. It's only a relationship with the living God and you, because you are humble before him and trusting him. Okay, amen. Jesus, what a name, Jesus. Just saying his name and waiting upon him. And let's see, wait upon the Lord and what he will in the land of the living. Seek my face, thy face, O Lord, I will seek. Trust in me with all your heart. You will find me in Jeremiah 29 if you seek from me with all your heart. We have found you. We have found you, Lord. We worship you. We're part of you. We are walking with you. We are encouraged by you. Take the drugs and alcohol away. Take away the foolishness out of life. I might maybe, you know, throw your phone away, or sometimes throw it in the other room. Don't throw it away, but you know, you need it, but throw it in the other room and just forget about it. And the dinging and all the things that phone is doing, and have the immediate impulses with the phone. No, I've got to shut down and decide in my heart that Jesus Christ, I need a fresh touch, fresh anointing. I need freshness from God in my heart. I need to be renewed in my mind. I need to be refreshed in my life. I want you to answer my prayer. Lord, I have things in front of me. I need answers. I'm serious about it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say this one little story. Come, if I go to somebody and I say, I'm like in a hurry or something, I say, I want you to come to my house Friday night at 6 o'clock for dinner, and then walk away from them. Like, I gave them an invitation, but what are they thinking? Like, why are you walking away from me? I haven't answered you. Or, well, like, are you kidding? Or are you serious about it? Do you want me at your house at 6 o'clock? On where do you live and everything, right? So that's how we can pray. We say, Lord, this is what I want. Or, Lord, this is what I'm looking for. And then just kind of, because my phone is ringing, I just go away because there's a movie on or something. No, this is beautiful. Eye to eye. Could you come to my house Friday night at 6 o'clock? I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you. I'm serious. They look at me. Are you serious? I am serious. All right, do you want to come? I want you can answer me. I wait on you. You know, give me an answer. That's beautiful. That's normal. Imagine the Lord looking for us to be like this and to say to him, I am serious, Lord. Answer me, please, in Jesus' name. And I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you in the land of the living. I'm waiting on you in the spirit. I am serious about it. Isn't that beautiful? Do you need a used car? Ask God and wait on God. Ask him and be serious about it. Don't be double-minded. It's not a game. This isn't a game. This is about you and God. Do you need a place to live? Do you need a job? Those things can happen. But behind it all is walking in the light with our God. And how can two be agreed? How can we walk together unless we are agreed? Let's close again in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us in this. Thank you for this message, and may it do its work in our hearts. Hunger, focus, desire, and answers. We pray for our country. We are serious about it. We are serious about it. We want changes. We want a revival. We want some fire. We need men and women of God all over the country. We need messages. We need to repent. We need change. We need a relationship with you. Please, Lord. Please, a fresh anointing and moving of grace, Lord, amongst us. And save souls, Lord. In Jesus' name. Anyone listening to me tonight, come to Jesus as you are. Just come to him by faith. He loves you. He is for you. He loves you so much. He died for you. Trust him. Amen.